So now it looks like we have reached the conclusion of our story. It's finally starting to get juicy. So, turn the lights out and join me as we both venture into the darkness tonight as I bring you the ending of our tale. Knock, knock. Anger bloomed in my brain then. A deliberate and unshaking spite for the situation. My friend, who has always been there when I needed him, needed me. He came to help me, and it would take whatever demise in the shadows that waited in the basement had planned for me to keep me from helping him. I shoved Murray away with unfamiliar strength and drew in the deep, feverish breaths through my nose. You can't make me leave him. He wouldn't leave me. Murray looked at me sadly for a long second before taking another step back.
I'm sorry. I can't go back in there. I won't.
He ran off the porch towards his waiting truck. Again, I wanted to judge him, but he only did what he had to do, what anybody would want to do. Bucking against that what-if lizard part of my brain that pulled at the reins of my mind, I turned slowly and entered the house again, the door shutting with a final sounding thud behind me. The shadows had grown thick in the few minutes I had been outside with Murray. The growing twilight outside had blanketed the house in darkness. In the living room, the clock ticked out the seconds, echoing into the emptiness. Pat's screams seemed to rocket hoarsely up and out of the basement in great strokes of pain. That sound was the only thing that spurred my footsteps forward. My eyes were adjusting to the shadows as I entered the tiled passageway to the basement door. I grabbed the kitchen knife from the drawer beside the sink as I passed. This helped keep my steps at a steady pace until I reached the utter blackness of the basement door, where the closed door looked like a waiting grin. It looked like a snarling maw when it opened, an entrenched predator's mouth waiting, daring some foolish animal to venture into the shadows. Just for a moment. That's all it took. I stood at the edge of what I felt was like an abyss, trying to make myself jump. Pat screamed again. His voice tightened and screeched upwards until it became an animal squeal, and I stepped into the darkness. The steps moaned under my feet. The heat pressed thickly to my skin as I descended. When Murray had brought me down here in the day, there had been maybe 10 steps. That night I climbed down at least 100. All the while, Pat screaming wordlessly for help. I don't know how many steps I had descended when they had ended, and I fell outright into the pitch black void below. The ground found me quickly, and I landed on my side and cried out, the air bursting out of me. When I looked up, I saw a fire in the center of the basement, or what should have been the basement. This room was much larger than the one that Murray had shown me that day of our tour. I tried, but I couldn't see the outer walls on any side of the room. The floor was smooth, flat concrete all around. It reflected the fire dimly near the center of the chamber. The warm, weak light of the fire made a bright circle about 20 feet wide around itself. I edged into the light and scanned the seemingly massive chamber. Just in front of the fire itself, a shape caught my eye. Pat. I ran forward to help my friend, but slowed as I approached him. He was spread eagle on the ground. His eyes were shut tight, and he bared his teeth, gritting and spitting as high-pitched screams sprang from his lips. My brain struggled to understand what was happening to him. At first, I thought he was being buried alive. It reminded me of the days at the beach as kids, burying limbs and whole bodies in the sand to burst forth. The transition from limb to ground was so neat and smooth that my eyes hardly believed it. His legs stopped in a smooth, straight plane just below his knees, and the concrete began. But there was something I wasn't seeing. My brain floundered to process the visual input being represented. The noise, like straining rope, got louder, and Pat let out another shriek. That's when I saw what was happening. The denim of Pat's jeans pulled taut, stretched, and then faded into the concrete. A loud crunching noise as my friend's knees collapsed like oversized pecans, sending a squeal out between his teeth. Where his legs met the concrete, it seemed that his lower half was being stamped into the floor surface. Two legs, tennis shoes, and jean cuffs included, appeared black and inky on the concrete. Pat's fingers dug at the floor behind him, trying to pull himself away from whatever force was slowly flattening and devouring his body. On the ground, the silhouette of Pat's legs began to shimmer and flicker in the firelight. It looked like the shadowy image was steaming, sending up a bitter, strong smell and stinging my eyes. I looked beside Pat's newly stamped shadow. A stone rose in my throat, and an audible gasp hissed between my lips. Another shadow crawled beside Pat. The shadow of a man that moved in jitters and stutters. This shape moved without anything to cast it. It was growing. It slithered up beside Pat, and snake would look like a claw up to the shadow being made of his lower body. Elongated fingers raked across the concrete where Pat's legs once were. Pat's body jerked and slid down, away from the weak fire. His thighs looked like twin tubes of denim toothpaste as they began to feed through whatever force had a hold of him. Another squeal of anguish spat out of Pat's lips and ran forward. Skirting the moving shadow, I came around Pat's left side and took Pat's arms in both my hands. He looked up at me, straining to grip my hands as tightly as he could. His eyes were hopeful in that moment. I would get him out of this. We would make it. A violent, retching tug came at Pat's midsection, and it looked like his chest cavity went from three dimensions to two in the space of a second. The skin of Pat's face turned an impossible blue and purple color, and the blood jetted out of every orifice it could find. He made a noise like a vacuum cleaner stuck on a curtain. I think he was trying to breathe. All I can be sure of is I felt bones in my hands start to crack in Pat's death grip. I think he said one last thing to me. It's hard to be sure, but I think he did. I wanted to believe he did. Whatever helps us sleep, I guess. Run! It rasped its way out of his lips, and his eyes rolled back up into his skull. He was gone, and my feet found themselves again. I turned to flee, but was wrenched backwards by some iron grip still anchoring onto me from Pat's vanishing form. His hand clutched mine in an inescapable iron trap. I grabbed my trapped left hand with my right and tugged desperately. The moving shadow gave another jerking motion, and a whip went through Pat's body, and the rest of him sank into the concrete. The shaded imprint of Pat's form lay neatly stamped into the floor. It shimmered and bellowed like a cloud. There were no features on the now flat face. The pain and the blood were replaced by a solid black. A mournful cry escaped my lips, and I struck the ground with my free hand. It occurred to me, right then, that my left hand was not still free. Eyes wide, I slowly turned to look at it. My hand was now sunken into the concrete. There, on the hard surface, appeared the two-dimensional rendering of one hand gripping another. I stared at my wrist, now seemingly flat against the shadow of my former hand. After a split second, the pain blossomed from underneath adrenaline, and a great crushing weight that pressed in from wherever was focused on my wrist. I stared in disbelief as the moving shadow slinked up Pat's now imprinted remains. The two black shapes swirled together, pulling around my wrist while I gasped. They shuddered, convulsed, and began to form something hulking and monstrous. And then, the lurching, ripping, sucking feeling, like I was a stray spaghetti noodle in the gigantic mouth of the world. A strong burning sensation seared its way across the nerves of my left hand, and that sound, like thick ropes being stretched, whipped across my eardrums. My wrist began to sink deeper into the ground, bones crushing beneath the immeasurable force. I found my voice then, or rather it found me. A scream came rocketing out of my gut, wild and raging in my throat. I wrenched my arm, working my shoulder and elbow violently. An image of animals caught in a hunter's bear trap swam through my mind, and the desperation that flooded my brain couldn't be described as anything but animal. It was a simple, growing certainty that I was going to be consumed. I was going to be eaten. There was no saving my friend. There was just the darkness rolling in to take away everything I was, like the tide melting away shapes etched in the sand. Then one of my kicking legs caught one of the logs from the fire, sending it shaking into the shadowy mass growing on the ground. The shadows lifted on the ground and fractured as the one source of light split into two. My wrist rose from the ground in a jerking, violent tugging motion. Bile rose in my throat, looking at the twisted nub that hang there. There was no hand at the end of my wrist, but what looked like the gnarled, flesh-colored version of the twisting on the end of the old-fashioned candy wrappers. A snarling screech drew my eyes back to the concrete. The shadowy mass was swirling and writhing in front of me, tendrils striking out here and there. It wanted its second helping. I stumbled to my feet again and lurched for the stairs. My left arm hugged itself to my body as I lumbered forward. Behind me, the sound of crackling fire was joined by a great thundering howl. The ground shook beneath my feet. When I reached the stairs, I clambered up the first three and fell breathless, working to regain my footing. My eyes darted for the center of the large chamber once more. Spreading out from the dim fire created by the fire, I saw an army of shades crouched, bent like feral animals stalking something smaller, something weaker. They all flickered and faltered in the firelight, but they were coming closer. I began to pull myself up the stairs, scrambling with all three still workable limbs and remembering the extended staircase I had come down. As I climbed, screams and shrieks came echoing into my ears. Cries for help, screams of agony, and lonely pleas for someone to turn on the light. below all the rest, a sound like two stones dragging over each other slowly and steadily reverberated through the walls. It grew louder and louder, and I thought I would lose my mind. The steps wouldn't stop, and the voices in the darkness drenched me with despair. I closed my eyes and just kept climbing, while those sad, hungry sounds bore into my skull. When I reached the basement door, I spilled out onto the kitchen and collapsed into a heaping pile on the floor. I heard the door shut loudly behind me, and I flipped on my back, arms and legs raised to shield me from whatever had followed me out of the basement. Murray stepped forward and reached out a hand.
"Come on, kid. We've gotta go."
I gripped his outstretched hand limply, and he hauled me to my feet. The momentum sent me swaying forward onto my feet, and my vision swam. I collapsed into the laundryman's arms, and the world went dark. I woke up in a hospital bed, bandages and gauze over my left wrist. They told me I had been asleep for the better part of a day. The man who had brought me was gone. They asked me a lot of questions. The doctors, the police, my friends. I didn't have answers for them. I could hardly bring myself to speak at all. What explanations could I give them? How could I even explain any of this to myself, honestly, without feeling like the lines of my reality were starting to go fuzzy? My parents insisted that I come stay with them for a while. I accepted. Murray's phone was disconnected, and he disappeared off the web. I quit my job. My chest felt too heavy to sit up in the morning. The days started to blur together. Sleep was my refuge for a while. I was on a sedative, and dreamless periods of unconsciousness were like oxygen. A couple of months after I had started taking them, though, the dreams came back. Or I think they were dreams. I'm praying they were dreams. I go out into the hall, and there's a new door at the end. This door stands bright white in what used to be a solid wall bearing my family's memories and school photos. I know because those framed pictures were strewn in front of my place where they once hung. Beneath the door, there's a soft yellow light radiating out into the darkness. It glints off the glass of the pictures and twinkling in my eyes. I see the shadow of 2 feet appear, one after the other, on the floor. The light footsteps can hardly be heard. I freeze solid, unable to move, unable to breathe. It knocks. I want to scream, or run, or die. I just want it to end. Let me go, or let me die, please. And then, the voice comes from behind the pale wood door. "I think we should go back together." I always wake up drenched in sweat. The lights aren't ever turned out in my room. I can't stand the thought of the room covered in shadows. But I eye every dark corner with suspicion, and my heart pounds in my chest. I don't get many restful nights. It happened every night this past week. I wet the bed 2 nights ago, getting up in the wee hours to wash them. Last night, I didn't get to sleep, but the door was there anyway. I heard the knocking from my bedroom. It was loud and demanding. echoing out into the house with every strike. I crept out into the hall of my bedroom, eyes on the ground. The knocks crashed out into the darkness, and I looked up. Hello again. I know it this time. You've been dreaming about me. I didn't stop dreaming about you. My lower lip trembled, and I thought I might weep. I lurched forward towards the door, and the pale yellow light appeared beneath. The tinkling of chains on the light bulb echoed up from the non-existent basement of my parents' house. And I heard the groan of old wood steps beneath heavy feet. The shadow appeared beneath the door when I approached its surface. That low sound that I remembered from the basement ground out from below, a sound like God grinding his teeth together. It crashed in all around me, and I clutched my skull. The walls shook, and it felt like the house might collapse in on us at any moment. But the sound disappeared, and the wall stood firm. The shaking stopped. A soft knock came from behind the door. Knock, knock, knock.
Help me, man. You have to help me.
His voice was strangely calm, but his words were desperate. When the doorknob began to jitter back and forth, softly at first, but then violently, I stumbled back a step.
You left me. You never came back. You have to come back. You can't leave me.
The doorknob shuddered and vibrated, and this soft knocking was replaced with deafening slams of force. Boom, boom, boom. I fled back to my bedroom, shutting the door and retreating underneath my covers. The thundering knocks resounded throughout the house, followed by a guttural howl. Then I felt something on my hand, my left hand. At first, I couldn't pinpoint the feeling nor grasp the regained sensation. My mouth hung open as I stared at the twisted place at the end of my wrist. The pain started, and I realized what I was feeling was teeth. 100 little mouths were digging into the flesh of my stolen hand. I could feel each one tear into my skin and chew on bone. I screamed out into the darkness, tears streaming down my face. I whimpered and swore and begged. Then everything was quiet, and the pain was fading, numbing in the quiet. The voice came again. I want to help. Let me help. I woke up this morning, breathless and sweating. My left wrist aches, and I'm afraid. I can't reach Murray. His number's been disconnected. My parents won't be here this weekend, and it's just me. And I'm afraid. I'm afraid of what's coming tonight. I'm afraid of seeing that door again. I'm afraid of hearing Pat's hurt, demanding voice. I'm afraid that if that door's there again tonight and Pat comes knocking, I'll answer it. I'm afraid.
thank you guys for listening. If you guys enjoy my narration, please consider subscribing and sharing so that you too may come with me into the darkness every Thursday as I bring you a new creepy, scary story for you to enjoy. If you're feeling generous, there's a link in the details. You can contribute as much or as little as you wish. No obligation. You guys just joining me tonight is enough. With that being said, until next time. Ha 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 ha